Yeah, I was going to share a bit more about them. I'm very excited to have you this morning. My mentor in life, as you know, I always speak about this amazing man, Gunther Titus, and his beautiful wife, Karen. I flew Karen up to meet them in Lovelace when we started dating. That was to meet the parents. So this morning I have them as well. Yes, it's exciting time. Don't know whether you see him, Gunther, and come up and pray with him and receive him. Gunther is a friend in this church, and he speaks into my heart a lot, and God.
From a from a men's camp in Johannesburg, driving back to Devon, and he'd had a, if anyone knows Titch's testimony, if you don't, I would recommend you buy their book. It's called When Grace Showed Up. It's a wonderful book from Titch and Joe Smith, our founders. And he was driving back from the game, from this game reserve, where they were having a men's camp, and he was crying out to the Lord. He said, surely there's God to need more to my life. Then, there's nothing wrong with church camps, you should go on the church camp. But he said, surely it's got to be more than going to church on Sunday, going to men's camp once a year. God, I want to be used. I want to do something. He prayed in the Spirit for the length of time varies depending on who tells the story. But he prayed in the Spirit, and the Lord gave him an open vision. The Lord gave him an open vision, and it didn't make sense to him because he'd never gone there before. He'd never sat in front of an orphan children. God told him this. He said, create a place where children come to know they have a Father in heaven who loves them. Create jobs for the rural communities so they can feed and sustain their families. And when the government asks, why is this way, you can point them to the Christ. So that's what the village centers around from this vision. And so I'm actually just going to show you, if you go to the next slide, please. This is the farm in which Titch and Joan then bought. To say, I mean, it was a very long process. Get the book if you want to hear the whole story. It's very, very wonderful. But this is a farm that they bought next to the Hazelmere Dam. And this community here is called Cotlands, or in Zulu we call it Mafalatini, which basically means like soil or dirt. And so in this community, there's a lot of problems, a lot of challenges, social problems, lack of employment, etc., etc., etc. So Titch and Joan bought this farm with the idea that, hey, we're going to build a village. You just think about that, it's a little bit crazy. We are going to build a village for vulnerable orphan children so they can come to know that they have a Father in heaven for us. This is what it looks like today. Next slide, please. Isn't that beautiful? So we have 96 homes, purpose built. Guthrie Parent's house was, this was where Guthrie Parent lived. Here, this is where I live. Here, I didn't always live there. I got a promotion. I used to live in this, but it was built properly before I lived in it. But we have to be seen to be addressing the needs of the nation as the church. I think, you know, Pastor Bradley just mentioned as well, you think of James 1:27, my pure religion in the eyes of the Father is to care for the widow and the orphan, and to not be polluted by the ways of the world. And I think that's also the big thing, is it's easy to go and try and address the need, but then the need becomes greater than the purity. And the purity gets contaminated, and then it's actually not true in proper worship anymore. But let's just go to the next slide. I just want to kind of whiz us through, so just so you're aware, we currently have 160 children at the day, 204 children attending the school in BCD. The children, we say it's family for life. So what that basically means is that we have our kind of four areas that we invest in the children. We say we rescue a child, restore a life, raise them again, release the star. And so we currently have 51 young adults released in South Africa or in different places to be able to go to university or to have jobs or to be reunited with their families. And we've got one young man who's actually sinks on a Disney ship. He sinks on a Disney ship and has built, he's actually from Cotlands, and he's rebuilt his mom's home so that she has a sustainable home to live. How beautiful is that? So we've got 51 young adults released in and around, 128 jobs created, and over 7,000 patients seen at Lips Medical Clinic since 2023. So we also, because we want to save our local community, we built a clinic there at the bottom of the village, and it's free medical care for those in Cotlands, because we found there were so many people passing away because they couldn't afford a taxi to the local hospital, and even if they could, to be very honest, I've seen people dying in the corridors of hospitals. It is horrible, and it's just not a healthy place. You're supposed to go to a hospital to get better, and sometimes that's just not the case. And so I'm not trying to be critical, I just wanted, this is my motivation, and we need to say it. Alright, next slide please. Okay, we're going to watch a video. This is the most exciting part. If this is the only thing you take away from today, this is the gospel, then you'll be in a good space. So if I may just ask...
enjoy.
Sounds of real sounds of living.
Whenever. Se funciona no outro local, ok? We are having some technical difficulties.
Once we were pausing and then we come back to the room.
Yep.
Is that right? And
yep.
The reason being is that the music helps make the video. Anyone who is in the audience will know the music also makes the video. Okay, so maybe just while we are just waiting on that technical problem, is it possible to go to the next slide? Then I'll just quickly visit you. Thank you so much. So we have school on slides. So the idea is that it's holistic care, that everything that the child needs, spirit, soul, and body, would be taken care of in one place. Right? That's beautiful. So our school, from ECD all the way up to matric, and so we offer five different streams. The reason why we offer five different streams, a lot of people say, wow, that's a lot of, you know, that's a long extent to go to in order to, you know, there might only be five kids in this class or whatever. But if we've committed to these children to be family and we want to give them the best, I believe that the gospel doesn't put us on the back foot, it puts us on the front foot. And so we want to give them the best. These are not poor orphan children who let's just give a little something to wipe their nose. These are children who are made in the image of God, who He has a plan and a future for, and if we can serve them into that future, it demands of us excellence. Amen? So, we want to do that in our education. So we have an online class for those who are able to work by themselves and work independently, and they can grow and learn in that space of being online. We have a mainstream, face-to-face. Then we have a remedial stream at LSEN, which is Special Educational Needs. And then we have something called TOC, which is Technical Occupational Certificate. So basically what that is instead of the curriculum being 80% theory and 20% practical, it's switched the other way around. It's not actually because the children are not clever enough. It's actually because they are just made differently by the Lord to do things practically instead of academically. So we try and communicate this to the children all the time because we never want any child in the village to grow up thinking that they said in class. Okay, you can go to the next slide, please.
We got the sound.
Yeah, we got the sound again.
Thank you so much. Like we said, in our clinic, over 700 patients. We have a wonderful doctor. She's just joined us. She is, where is she from? What's the place called in the Kalahari? What's it? There's one of these places in the Kalahari. Where's the Agua from? I thought it was like the famous place in the Kalahari, so I obviously got it wrong. I don't come here very often, so please forgive me. Don't worry, we'll work it out. But Dr. Boyson has just joined us. She's moved from Canada. She moved from Canada to come to be with us at LIV. And so we've got a wonderful clinic going on there. And it's a place where we're really developing. And prayer and intercession is also going to start in that space as well, which is really great. So we're going to start interceding for the community, which is literally on our doorstep. Next slide, please. Okay, training and business. So again, part of the vision was job creation, and so we're looking at different ways in which we can create jobs and give people from our local community the opportunity. Now here's the thing about our businesses now, we don't just want it to be a job opportunity, we want it to be an opportunity for people to be discipled. We want it for it to be an opportunity where people would grow in the Word, grow in their own expertise, grow in their own opportunities in life. That would, yes, they would absolutely be able to speak to sustain their families, but we also want everybody to grow in God. So every Monday, you know, on Monday you dread Monday, you're looking tomorrow, you're thinking, I've got to go to work and whatever. So we start with basically what we've done, we start our week with this. So we have a Sunday gathering and we have a Monday gathering. So all of our staff and volunteers, mums and children, everyone gathers in the multi-purpose hall. We praise and worship, there's work, there's family celebration, and so we're investing into the community all the time. We're actually currently reading through, in 35 days, we're reading through the whole of the New Testament as a village. And we just, wow, it's great. Okay, so, business training, so we can go to the next slide, please. Yeah, we always want to share about our staff and our volunteers. We have just both wonderful people working on the village and being with us. And that also includes other volunteer groups like shofar groups who come through. I think we had 8 groups from different shofar congregations last year come on mission. Every nation, we're speaking to every nation tonight as well. We just have these wonderful partnerships of people who are coming through. They're coming to serve and really put wind in the sails of the staff that are there. And that's a beautiful thing about volunteers when they come through. When they come on missions, it gives the staff an opportunity not to step back and take the responsibility, but it's a change of pace for a week or 10 days. And what it gives them a breather, it gives them an opportunity to sit back, okay, and then they re-engage full of vision and passion again. But we have just the most wonderful, wonderful, wonderful team. You can read there behind me different needs that we may have. You can also find them also on our website, which would just be helpful. So, yeah, we can go to the next slide as well. Okay, so just on the release, like I mentioned before, so we then have 13 at university, 1 is at college, 6 are working, 1 has completed their studies, and 10 are doing an internship. This was actually last year, there's more of them this year, way more of them this year. But just to give you an idea, that's how we're supporting the children, and then if they want to come back and visit, they're really welcome. So it's not like once you've left then you're out of the door, you're able to return. So we often just on the weekends have children walking in, they live in the local community, they come, they visit, they say, hey, they come and visit brothers and sisters, tell them how. We actually had 2 of our boys have bought cars. Now if you come from nothing and you have to climb a children's village and make your way in the world, buy your first car. So I remember when one of our boys, Zico, drove his car onto the road, beeping the music. I'm not sure what song was playing, but it was a Christian one. But he turned his music right up, he drove it, beeping his horn, and the kids ran out to the buses. And one of the boys said to my wife, I wasn't actually there, one of the boys said to my wife, man, I feel so inspired now. I have hope. If he's done it, I can do it too. Beautiful, right? So we've got these beautiful stories. We also run a discipleship school called Live for Change, 18 to 30. But just if you know anyone who might be interested, or you yourself might be interested at any point in the future, and they're the things that we major on is life in Christ, grow in the world, and in the Word, enabled by the Holy Spirit, your lives to come. So you are, we don't just want Live to be a place where we only look after the children. I think when there's a call on a group of people to make disciples, you make disciples of all nations. The difficult thing for us is we can't always go out because we have to look after the children in. But if we invite the people into our space, discipleship happens in our space, and then we send them out. Now we're serving the church. It's really good. Okay. Some prayer requests for us. Okay. The gospel to spread in the hearts of our people. I'm going to share more about the gospel now. I want to encourage you in the gospel today. Salvation for the unsaved. We do have a lot of unsaved people. We actually had devotions a couple weeks ago. I felt the Lord just say, tell people it's time to ask and seek and knock. They might have been here for a long time. They might have intended to give their lives to me, but now I want you to give them an opportunity. So just after worship, I just got up and I said, hey guys, I believe the Lord is asking anyone who's asking and seeking and knocking at this point, if you want to give your life to Jesus, please stand up. 40 people stood up. 4-0. Some of them for the 3rd time this year, but still, I don't mind. It's okay. Alright? So we want salvation to break forth, and then a genuine desire for discipleship and spiritual maturity. Not just we do discipleship, you know. We want a genuine desire to disciple and to be discipled. Which I know is being good in show part. Please pray as well for our children's restoration, spirit, soul, and body, and that we would encourage them in the will of God for their lives. Pray for our monks, strength, wisdom, Holy Spirit anointing. You can imagine looking at these children from such traumatic backgrounds, the stuff that they have to go through, the stuff that they themselves have to process. It's a lot. It really is a lot. It's not a small thing that they do. We refer to the monks as the trees and the heroes of the village. Prayer as well for the village finances. We go month to month making just about what we need. We are currently not in the best financial state, just to be very honest and transparent. I know the village looks beautiful, but there's food to put in the cupboards, there's teachers to pay, there's therapists to pay, there's water, there's electricity, there's a whole bunch of different things. And prayer requests for the Lord to send more laborers. You know, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And so we're really trusting the Lord that He will send us some more laborers to labor with us. Are we?
This sounds right.
Does this sound good?
Yeah.
All right, let's look at it in action then. Is that all right? Thank you.
I was chasing the high.
share with you, just encourage you this morning. And you know, I just had this burning desire over the last couple of years just as a church and just realize that the gospel should not just be spoken, it should be demonstrated. Because the proclamation was a demonstration. I think it was prayed for. And in fact, a lot of what she prayed for this morning is similar to what the Lord was putting on my heart. And I just want to submit this to you because, you know, Paul says that the kingdom is not about talk, it's about power. But power, we think, might just come through the demonstration of a gift here. But for me, the thing that makes what is happening on the village powerful is that it's a demonstration of the gospel that can't be done outside of the Holy Spirit. It had to have been revealed by God, sustained by God, authored by God, and the will of it being affected by God. And I think that's a beautiful thing. And it's the same with the gospel. Because, guys, I don't know if you realize the gospel's not finished. We talk about the gospel like it's ended. It's a finished work for us, yes. But we're still awaiting the renewal of all things, which will be the culmination of the gospel. Is this correct? And so we have these stories, these testimonies of hope, because they remind us of the gospel that I was once dead and lost outside of God's family. And Paul said, not just I was in darkness, I was darkness. He said, you were darkness. But now God has redeemed you and brought you into the kingdom of the Son whom he loves, the kingdom of light. So we were once orphaned and brought into the family of God. And this is my testimony. When I moved over from the UK, I moved over as one who had much, had been given much, all opportunity, everything you need. I don't have like that really, really harsh testimony in terms of like I came from nothing. I had a great upbringing. It was my own ignorance. It was my own sin issues that held me back. But the beautiful thing for me is I realized when I came to the village to serve vulnerable and orphan children, the Lord showed me my own orphanhood in my own life. Because I was petrified that people would find out that I'm not a good Christian. I was petrified to find people that they didn't know. I didn't even read the Bible when I moved into South Africa. And I'm living a life of fear. The spirit that I received is not a spirit of fear, but a love, power, and a sound mind. So the gospel brings us from a place of fear into a place of love, from orphanhood into family, from being lost to being found, from being dead to sin, dead to God and alive to sin. Now I'm alive to God and I'm dead to sin. You say it yourself. Romans 6. And so the beauty about why the village exists is because it's a demonstration of the heart of the Father. And if we want to live gospel lives, if we want to live lives like Jesus, and the scriptures are clear. John says, if you love him, you will live like he lived. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He said, me and the Father are one. He said, when you see me, you see him. In other words, when you look at my life, you will understand his heart. Because my life, I didn't come for the healthy. I came for the sick. I came for the unrighteous. I did not come for those who would count themselves as spiritual. In fact, they're the ones who had the most conflict with the Lord. I came not to be saved, but to serve. And if the Lord took that position to serve, then as his church, as his people, as the body of Jesus on the earth, we too should position ourselves as servants to minister the gospel to a world that is not just in darkness, it is darkness. It's not just in death, it is death. There is no life there. And so we have these opportunities, and I traveled around the UK a little bit last year and just asked the churches, what is your demonstration of the gospel? What is your demonstration of the gospel? How do you show in your everyday life what demonstrating incarnation, getting involved, the Word became flesh, dwelt amongst, moved in, paid the cost for sin? Obviously, we can't pay the cost for somebody's sin like Jesus did, but we can be with them in their brokenness.
until new life comes. See them raised in resurrection life as we await the return of the Lord. And so my encouragement to you so far is to ask yourselves the question, what is your demonstration of the gospel? It's not a condemning question, it's actually a freeing question, because it would encourage you to live in the fullness of life that you've been given in Christ Jesus. Because you fully alive will demonstrate the gospel. I felt this morning as I was praying for you, and Pastor Bradley, I saw, and I remembered only after I saw this, what you told me on the phone. I saw a cluster of grapes, and I saw a group of people coming around Pastor Bradley. I saw you clustering around, coming around, and then I saw it like in the form of grapes. You know when you get a bunch of grapes, but the grapes were standing upwards like this. So it was wide at the bottom and went upwards like this. And I believe that the Lord is calling you to be a fruitful people. When I say fruitful, I don't just mean in multiplication. I mean fruitful in substance. There's nothing worse than eating a bad grape. A sour grape is not nice. But a grape of substance is a beautiful thing. And I believe the Lord is calling you to be a fruitful people. There's going to be people coming around you. There's going to be a nourishing and encouraging of you specifically, but there's going to be an encouraging and an immersion of one another as you abide with one another. It's a fruit of the vine that you would bear much fruit. And I really believe that the Lord is calling you to be a fruitful people. And I think it was prayed this morning, a fruitful people that comes from the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. A new covenant people. Who really understand the gospel. So when we understand that in the gospel, my sins were forgiven, correct. But God doesn't just want to be your savior. He wants you to be free of everything that he saved you from. And the danger with being a believer is the longer that we go in Christianity, the less we believe what is finished for us already. And so, we often, we preach well about the wage of sin. What is the wage of sin? The wage of sin is death. But the weight of sin, the things that so easily entangle us, the things that we get caught up on, the stumbling blocks, the issues, the past ways of thinking, the patterns, the behaviors, the expectations, all of those things, God wants to continually free his people from what he's freed us from already. But sometimes, when we've been walking with the Lord for a while, we think, oh no, that's all right. That's just my issue. I'm just a sinner saved by... Like, if we use the language, I'm just a sinner, I don't believe that's new covenant language. You were a sinner, now you're a child of God. If your thinking is that you're still sinful, you don't understand that you were given a new name and a new nature. For anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old is gone and the new is come. But why am I settling in my language for the old? But think about this. You've been made right with God. He who knew no sin became sin, so that in him you may be called the righteousness of God. What is righteousness? Right standing. You are called the right standing of God. And it doesn't mean that we don't sin. John says that, right? He says, and if anybody says that they don't sin, that they're a liar and the truth is not in them, he says, but when we do sin, we have an advocate, Jesus Christ, whose blood will purify us from all sin and cleanse us, listen to this, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It wasn't just enough for them. The blood is still enough for now. And we need to learn to live as people of the body and Jesus. We're really exploring communion on the Village at the moment because I just believe in that thing, like, it's not symbolic. The Lord gives himself to you. He gives himself to you. Like, the cross, he laid down his life and he gave his body as a sacrifice for your sin. But when you take communion, you literally eat of him and drink of him and you receive him and you remember him. Because the reason why remembrance is powerful is because you remember your hope is in the renewal of all things. And right now I get to experience a part of that in heaven. Oh, sorry, on earth as it is in heaven. Have you ever thought about it when John says that anyone who believes has become born of God? Not born of a man's will. Listen to this. You're not born of a man's will. When you're born again, it's not because, it's a fruit of your parents' prayers. It's a fruit of your parents' prayers. It's a fruit of a praying community's prayers. It's a fruit. Where did the will originate? In the heart of the Father. And what was his will? That you wouldn't just be a physical human being living on the earth, but you would be his child, born again, living because his spirit now lives in you. And you are not born of a heritage. You're not born of the will of the Father. You're born of God. That becomes your primary identity. I'm born of God. And these are some of the things that we don't meditate on when we think of the gospel. Because if we don't really understand these things, if we don't believe these things, we can't live free of the old man, the first Adam. We can't live free. It's only when we understand what was given to us in the second Adam, when we receive Jesus. The reset button, the regenerate button, I was given everything I needed. And that's what we're trying to do at the village. We're trying to demonstrate what does this look like for our children, spirit, soul, and body. And again, I want to pose a question to you, Shofar Boston. What is your demonstration of this gospel? What are we trusting the Lord for? What are we believing the Lord for? Not because we need to now get busy and now have a vision. I'm sure it's going to be incredible of the Lord. But renew people. They understand that the vision is Jesus. Christ and Christ alone. We try and formulate our discipleship around this, to be with him, to be like him, to join him in his mission. To be with him, presence, to be like him, sanctification, to join him in his mission, discipleship, sin. Go out, share the gospel, demonstration, proclamation. So we're trying to disciple our kids. Now my dream has come true. We've actually got a testimony slide. Two of our girls who were in discipleship for the last couple of years, they went to Careers Expo. They went to a Careers Expo and they're walking around and the people say to them, "So what do you want to do?" "We want to be missionaries." And they're like, "What? They didn't know anything? We want to be missionaries." "Oh, okay. Well, I don't know how to advise you on that." Standard bank or whoever is advising people, and then two of our girls say, and one of them has gone to Africa Enterprise on a dance ministry. She's led to preach the gospel. She's going to be traveling around South Africa and into some nations, be able to go to it. She had a desire to preach the gospel. And one of our girls is currently doing modeling for James Discipleship School. You can go to the next one, I think it is. And she's awesome, though. I also just want to share, there's a 17-year-old boy. 17-year-old boy, and I won't say his name, but I'll tell the Titus's later because they know him. 17-year-old boy in our church last week, not in a big church, we use something called cluster church. So we sit under trees or wherever, Africa, so whatever. So he preaches and he stands up and he does have significant challenges. He's got some special needs school, real anger issues, and he's the kind of kid that when he gets angry, he doesn't punch somebody, he picks them out. So it's not like a little thing, like it's quite fun. He stands up in front of James, he says, "This is what we know him for. I break windows, I grab knives when I get angry. But I want to tell you today about the love of God." And my eyes might be wide open. And he says, this is what happened. When I picked up that knife, God spoke to me. He said to me, "I want you to go into your room and I want you to read the Bible." How many of us, when we're angry, please pick up the Bible and go to our room? I'm just going to say I don't. Just before you don't feel the pressure to say stuff in me. Okay. Go to your room and read the Bible. And he says, so I take the Bible and I go and start to doing this by? He sits there and he says, as I read the Bible, God teaches me. He teaches me and I feel it need. And then I put worship music on. And then I start to feel happy. 17 years old. Special needs. Grabs arms. And God is teaching him in his anger how to yield to real authority. And I'm sitting there thinking, I don't have that maturity. But that's the thing that the Lord is after, church. In these days, the Lord is after maturity in the heart. He's after maturity in the church. You know, we all know Romans 8:28. We know there's all things. He works together for those who love him, those who call according to his purposes. Right? Read verse 29. For those who he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. We are on the earth to look more like Jesus, individually and corporately. That is a demonstration of the gospel. Because what it shows is, I was a slave to sin, but now I'm a slave to righteousness. I was dead in my transgressions, now I'm alive in Christ. And I become a demonstration of his life. So to be with him, to be like him, and to join him in his mission are the things that we want to be discipling one another and helping encourage one another as the day approaches, because we need these things of hope. But we need to understand that in the gospel, God wants us to be free, spirit, soul, and body. And that is what we're trying to do at Live. So, I'm going to come to a conclusion, if that's all right. When I was in England, I was like, Lord, teach me the gospel. You know, Paul says, nobody taught me the gospel, the Lord himself taught me the gospel. You read that? So I'm like, God, teach me about this gospel. Teach me. It's been the last couple of years. Teach me the gospel. Help me understand it. Grow it with me. And he said to me, you need to understand the gospel is not a formula, it's a flame. It's something that gets lit on the inside of you. And the more you fan it, the more revelation of what was done, what is happening, and what is to come. Because it's not finished. The more that we're looking at this, the more that we're gazing at this, the more that this becomes the lens of our lives, so the flame grows. And then as I spend time with a brother, the flame will grow here. And as I spend time with a sister, the flame will grow here. And as I spend time with a mother, the flame will grow here. And the flame will spread. You don't need strategy for a flame. You just let it be what it is, and it will spread itself. I'm not against strategy. I'm not. All I'm saying is, like, the gospel is a fire. Pentecost, a fire. And I believe that the Lord wants us to walk in this fire and the freedom that He's given to us in His Son. He showed me a vision a few years ago about tigers walking around in a figure of eight. I think, Lord, what is this? And I believe he started to talk to me about the church. You see, what is a tiger? It's a wild animal. What does it mean to be wild? It means to be fully alive in the environment that you were made to be in, right? That's what wild is. I'm not talking about a weird wild. I'm talking about being fully alive in the environment that you were made for. A tiger is wild. And it's free. It's powerful. It's raw. It's real. It's colorful. It knows what it's about. It's got bears. But if you're a tiger walking in a figure of eight with other tigers, you're a tiger in a zoo. You might look like the pup, but you're being fed a meal over the fence. You're eating what somebody else is giving you. And you've lost your wildness. I don't know if wildness is a word. You've lost your wild heart, lost your wild ways. Because we're so conformed to, this is how we do this, and this is how we do this, and I need to wait for somebody to give me this. The gospel doesn't put us on the back foot, the gospel puts us on the front foot. Wild and hunt our own meal. We can do our own thing. We can overcome because of what was done for us. Now, of course, we need one another, but we need to understand that the Lord wants us to walk wild and free. In our natural environment, fully alive, the way that God made us, and free from sin, free from condemnation, free from everything that held us back. He wants us to walk in the fullness and freedom that we've been given in Jesus. And so my encouragement to you today as we finish up here is to really take some time to pray about how the gospel is demonstrated in your life. Because that's the testimony you're going to leave from. And that testimony will have a myriad of testimonies. But for as long as we're up here, we want to, as we've been singing this morning, display the glory of a holy God who did for us unimaginable things. Something we can't put language to, we can't articulate. But he did it. And it doesn't just have to be, am I good at being able to speak the gospel? But did my mind speak of good news? Good news sounds fast, right? If we had a room full of children next door, and I called Faith and said, hey, Nathan, go tell me the kids we've got ice cream. How long do you think it will take for the other kids to run into this room? Why? Good news travels fast. Good news travels fast. But we have to be bearers of good news. So we have to be fully convinced that I've received the good news and I'm living the good news and I am now good news. It starts, send a revival, start with me. Dead things coming to life. So I bless you. I'm so grateful for Shofar's movement, so grateful for the time that we've had, and feel so short, but I know that I'm sure we'll have more time in the future. But just bless you and thank you. And may I just pray? Is that all right? If you're able to, you stand. It's like, sometimes it's like really helpful to stand to attention. Be like, yes, Lord, thank you for that prayer, my sister. Thank you for that prayer. Always right on all this prayer. Father God, we just want to say thank you. Thank you that you so loved us that you gave. You are generous in every way. And we want to be generous in every way. Extravagant with love. Extravagant with faith. Extravagant with belief. Extravagant in community. God, we want to be sharing what we've been given. So we pray in these days, would you open our eyes to what you've given us and what you've done for us in the gospel, what you're still doing for us because of the gospel, and what you will do in the gospel, the good news, that we don't live as those who don't have hope, because we know how the story ends and we're on the winning team.
Yeah.
We're not losers. We're winners in Christ. And so, Father, we just thank you for these truths. We pray you would teach us the gospel. That we would be demonstrators of the Spirit of adoption. Because we know that we've been adopted by you, we've been born of you. We belong to you. And we know that those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh and its sinful desires. So we thank you, God, for breakthrough today. In any and every space of our lives. Mentalities, the orphan spirit, the rejected spirit, any crushed spirits in the space, God, any fear, God, in Jesus' name, we just pray for freedom now. Holy Spirit, would you come? And would you break the yoke of oppression on people's shoulders? God, would you take fear away from people's thought patterns, physical manifestations that happen due to fear, God? We pray in Jesus' name that you would take it away now. Take it away now, because your gospel is good news now. It was good news then, it's good news now, and it will continue to be good news then. Thank you for the gospel. And we pray that you would teach us to live as gospel people. Gospel lifestyle. We love you, God. And I just thank you for this fruitful community. Bless it to be fruitful in substance as well as number. Oh, thank you, God. Let them be fruitful in substance as well as number. In Jesus' name. And God, I pray that you would raise up spiritual fathers in this place that will father this church. That we may have many teachers, we may have many guardians, but we have few fathers. God, we pray that you would raise up fathers in this place to father in the gospel, to father in family, to father in truth, to father in love, to disciple well. God, we pray for this, and we pray that you would bring them now. And those who are working within, we pray that you would raise them up now. Raise them up now in Jesus' name. Set people into their positions in this church, in this body, in this place, God. Put people into their spaces, and we pray, God, that they would flourish and be fruitful, and be men and women of substance. We ask all of this today in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Ooh. Thank you, guys. This is such a good word. I really enjoyed it. It was really special. It was a really special word. We're definitely going to unpack it a bit more. We're going to be practical about this. So thank you for that. It's really good. I think we're going to chew on this for quite some time. Yeah, I'm not going to hold you out too long. Grab someone, make a coffee at the back, and then close the service. But please, in our lives, don't we'll be chatting to this. It's not just a weather, it's just off today. It's a lifestyle. I think that is something God's talking about for me. So let me pray for us. Father, thank you, Lord, for the word that's spoken. Thank you that the word falls rightly in our hearts, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you come and you water this word as we go out, Lord. The Lord bless you, and the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you, and the Lord may be gracious to you. Therefore, go in peace. In Jesus' name. Amen. Grab a coffee.